Kings taking on the Pelicans tomorrow. The Pelicans with no Zion, so this thing's in the bag, right? Well, we'll take a look at some numbers that suggest it might not be a blowout. We'll look at those in just a moment here. Before we do, on the YouTube chat, oh, you've opened a can of worms now, Drapes.
What we got?
Compio says, I might have to break out my canvas Chuck Taylors and head to Lifetime at 7 p.m.
Come on through. Come on through, man. Come on through, Compio. Compio could do everything anyway, right? I mean, he can play golf, probably play basketball. Come support your boy.
Bring his cousin Ray Allen.
Ray Allen out there, right?
Manny, too legit. Have y'all seen the gone fishing pic after we won? Was very funny. Yes, Manny.
You saw that? I didn't see it. Oh.
I know that Draymond was like, he had a salmon in a chokehold or something.
It was really? Pretty good. No way. All right, I got to check that out.
It was very good.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, and doesn't it feel good when you know your team's the one that put them there?
Yes.
You're the one that sent them fishing.
Yes. I'm looking at the YouTube chat. And my guy, Ryan Williams-Art, on this day, you're going to be my guy, Ryan Williams-Art. Him and I usually go back and forth. Yeah. You know, we bust each other's chops. Drapes, good luck in your game tonight. When you pull off a steal, you need to yell at their team. And that was Drapes Takes, sponsored by Your Weak Dribbling. I might do that, man. I might, you know, give me that. Drapes takes it away. And then Brandon says, and when they get knocked down, offer them a massage in the EQS. And
you guys. Or Alsko can clean up the mess.
Yeah, Alsko can come through and clean up the mess, you know? So
it writes itself.
You know what? I should see if Alsko will sponsor my team uniforms. You know, because that's what they do. You know, their uniform, you know. Yeah. That'd be sweet. Get a sponsor logo on it.
Do you have a team name?
Yeah, I think we're the Animals or something like that. I don't name this stuff, man. I'm a walk-on. You know what I mean? I was a free agent. And so, they got a new rule, too. I'm getting text about this new league today at Lifetime. See, here's the thing. The last time I played in the Lifetime League, some guys just take it too seriously. Like, I'm a serious competitor. I play hard. But the last time I played in the Lifetime League, and it wasn't out here, it was back when I lived in Massachusetts, I nearly got into a fight with a teammate.
Uh-oh.
3 minutes into the game, he was like Draymond Green. I didn't try to, you know, fight him, but, you know, I was handling the rock, and he's screaming for the ball. Pass me the ball, pass. And so he gets angry, slams the ball. He might have been on some additives, if you will, some steroids or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was like 3 minutes into the game, and I'm like, bro, you're yelling at me to pass you the ball. It was the way he was yelling at me. And I said, you know what? I'm done. And after that game, I haven't been back. Mm-hmm. So this is my return.
Wow.
This is like Jordan coming back with the 45. I'm coming back to the Lifetime League.
You know what would be great is if the team you're playing has a roid boy.
Oh,
if he was on the other team,
dude,
would that be great?
I'm staying away, man. I'm too old for that. I'm a lover, not a fighter anymore. You know, those days are long gone. I'm just trying to get some cardio in, get a couple of W's out there, pad my stats a little bit.
So it sounds to me like you're coming in and running the second unit. I don't know. Is that accurate?
I'm Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sixth man of the year. I might be starting though. We only got like seven guys. Here's the thing I hate about basketball leagues though, and just play. Everybody want to run and gun. I'm too old, big fella, to be sprinting.
You want to play basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. Set up the offense, pass and cut. And I think having worked for the Kings and talking about basketball all the time has sort of made me obnoxious when it comes to pickup games. Because when guys don't pass and cut,
that's basic, right?
Pass, screen away or something. Guys just pass it and then stand there, call him. Nah, dude, go cut. Set a screen or something. It just bothers me, man. And I hate one-on-one guys, too. Simone, can I get my Drapes Take music, please? Simone, you back there. Jay, you back there.
I got you.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man.
He's turned up.
Nah, because this really bothers me about pickup basketball. This is a bonus edition of Drapes Take, Whitey and Jay. Everybody that plays pickup basketball think they're Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Think they're Steph Curry or something. Bro, if you're 2 of 15 from three-point range, stop shooting threes. Give it up to somebody else. You're not Rajon Rondo running point. Let me ask you this, Jay and Whitey. When you guys play pickup basketball, why does the smallest guy on the team feel like they should be the point guard? They ain't got no handles better than mine. I say, I'm like Magic Johnson out there, 6'9". Give me the rock. I'll set you up. The smallest guy does not have to handle the ball. That's why I don't like playing pickup ball too much, man, because everybody has these arcane rules. Everybody thinks they're Steph Curry. Dude, pass, cut, screen away. It's simple basketball. And sometimes I've actually walked off the court because I can't play that level of basketball.
Jay, I worry about him because he says, I'm a walk-on on this team. It's not my team. I think that could be an issue, right?
If it could be.
Doesn't play drapes ball.
You know what it is, fellas? Because this is the problem. A lot of guys like to play basketball. Jay and Whitey, I don't like to play basketball. I play winning basketball, Whitey. It's a difference, big fella. If you're up there just trying to, you know, pad your stats and get your numbers, I'm trying to win, especially in pickup ball when you're trying to stay on the court. Like, you know how it is. If you lose, you got to wait two or three games.
Yeah.
Who has time for that? I'm trying to play winning basketball, and so I can't play with dudes that don't know how to play winning basketball.
See, I don't think that's winning basketball. I think that's basketball. I think you're right.
Okay.
And there's a lot of guys, whatever they're playing, I play with those guys, too. It's like, I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
That's not basketball.
Yes. It's like, it's basketball is really a simple sport. It really is, but some guys make it so difficult. There's this one guy, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to call him out too much.
Is he a teammate?
No, he's not on my team, but it's like, bro, you're going inside 1-on-4 and you're 5-2. What are you doing? Pass the rock. Like, that frustrates the heck
spray
out of me,
three.
Man.
Go with the spray
right,
three.
Right.
When they come, you got to spray.
You collapse the defense, drive and kick. It's simple basketball. And so I'm fired up, man. So I'm ready.
I'm going to go tonight. I wasn't going to.
You should come on out,
this is
man.
Be a show.
I might have my son come out there and take some video.
I was getting ready to say, now, you know you are a celebrity, right?
Yes.
So you know if anything happens to you negatively, you know it's going local viral, right?
Jay, that's
you
why when that. I asked him, I thought he'd say, oh, I don't really want to say where I'm playing. You know, that's why.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He ain't ducking nothing. Ain't no train smoke, he ducking.
I'll play anywhere, anytime. Let's go. My biggest issue, though, my biggest problem, fellas.
A lot of phones out here.
I know, that's the thing, Jay. Remember, I got into the fight that. Were you here that day when we called my son up? No, Whitey
wasn't here
that day.
No.
You were out sick. Oh, I almost got into a fight at a pickup run in Lifetime. Uh-huh. And so my son was there. We called him up. You know, Nick came on the air. He's like, yeah, Dad, I thought you were going to punch that guy. I'm like, bro, I'm not going to punch anybody. But, yeah, man, it gets a little spicy in between the lines.
This is going to be fun.
But that's why I'm getting it all out right now so that come game time, I'm calm, cool, and collected.
I just don't want to see you on TV with a chipped tooth, a neck brace on, a big swollen eye.
Dude,
Let's go to Morgan Reagan now.
I got to protect this moneymaker right here, this face. You know, I got to protect it. But I'm excited about tonight, man. It's
good.
Your boy's going to be in his bag tonight. Bang, bang, bang.
That's one
thing. Okay, I see the UTEP two-step.
Bang, bang, bang.
Like, everybody got away, good baby. Air dribbling now. We got
one of the most valuable things my big brother ever taught me was when you play pickup with other people, pass the ball. And that way you will. And he said, you pass it and then people want to play with you and you will get it back.
Right.
Now, that part doesn't always happen,
right.
But it is true. You share the ball.
Share
and
the ball.
It's more likely you're going to get it back.
Right. And I tell kids this when I coach them as well, and you guys will understand this. If I'm playing defense and I go 3 or 4 trips down the floor and I'm not touching the ball, it makes me not want to try hard on defense. Makes me not want to get back.
My first question was, why are you playing defense?
No, you still got to play defense, big fella. You still got to try to take a charge here or there or something like that. But that's the thing. You want the guys to be involved. And so as the point forward, I'm, you know, the LeBron James of my team tonight, I'm going to get everybody involved first because I know I could get my buckets at any time. I want to get the big men involved. I want to get my shooters involved.
Alex Rocha, I might have to cross up Drapes tonight.
Come on out, Alex. Sign up, big fella.
Pompeo, opposition is going at the star, Draper, tonight.
We might play 2-3 zone tonight, man. I'm not.
Dang, man. Y'all got a 2-3 zone action, too?
We got an Abiba matchup. Yeah. So, no, I'm excited.
Triangle and two.
Do you know anyone on your team yet?
No, I don't know these guys.
Because you're a free agent. So
I don't know if they know who I am. Like, I told them who I was in the text line.
Oh, they know who you are.
But, you know, they have it.
If they play pickup basketball in Sacramento, they watch Sacramento Kings basketball. They know who you are.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said, man, you have to be like, we're living in a in society where anything go wrong, like your shoestring could come untied and somebody put a crossover on you and your shoestring could just be untied and they flop out wrong. Oh, it's going social. Oh my God, just Drake's got his cross.
Right,
got
that's
crossed.
True. You're right.
Amin El Hassan takes one bad shot warming up.
It's over.
Charity game.
You're right. I'm right. See, but I'm not worried about that. I guess.
Have you been practicing?
I mean, a little bit. I go.
What's a little bit? What's a little bit now?
I play twice in the last couple of months.
Oh, that's not a lot.
It's like riding a bike for me, Jay. Okay. Don't worry about it. I guess there's this rule that they're just texting me about. You know, so because this is the 35 and over league. This isn't the young 22-year-old straight out of high school and college.
This ain't the pups.
It's 35. I guess there's a youth rule. Young guys must sit 6 minutes each half. Unless the team only has five players. I don't know what young guys
What's a young
mean.
Guy? 35?
I don't know. I don't know. Under 40?
And so. Jonesy 07 says, what Drapes isn't telling you is you have to be a member to get into Lifetime.
That is true.
Of course.
We can't all
that
come out
true.
And watch you.
Yeah.
Get in on a buddy pass?
I'll take care of you, Jay. I'll take care of you, man. You know, bring the camcorder out there and everything and, you know, get some video of this. Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
You have a guest list, all the listeners. You put all their names on a guest list tonight.
We may have to stream it for everybody. You know, have somebody set up a camera, put it on the YouTube stream.
How many games do you have this year? About 7, 8?
I think 8. 10, like, okay. This is our first one tonight. So
okay.
I will report back tomorrow on how it did.
We're going to have video, too.
Yeah.
So we'll have the whole story.
I might have to be a visitor to one of those games.
You guys sounded like you doubt me, though.
No. I'm actually interested.
Okay,
yeah. I'm actually interested to see. How
I mean, I'm interested too to see the level of comp. You know, I think I'm probably one of the older guys, 49 now. There's probably some young guys, 35, 36, 37, still in shape. But the basketball mind never goes, Whitey. Mm-hmm. The basketball IQ never goes. Sure, the physical skills may deteriorate, but the way knowledge of playing the game, that never goes, man.
I think somebody should videotape these so we can release, some educational videos, instructional. Drapes, his had Drapes.
The pick and roll?
Yeah.
That's my thing, man. With me handling the rock, layup every time, every time.
Drapes teaches you how to play basketball, like Red on Round Ball way back when. What the Pelicans have done without Zion is next. Drive Guy Sacktown Sports. What do you think? No Zion, no chance for the Pelicans? Jay, Drapes, huh? No Zion, no chance for the Pelicans.
I'm not doing that.
It's over.
That's you and Jay, man. You guys already got your tickets booked to OKC.
I didn't say no chance. Come on.
Come on now. Pelicans still got to respect them.
I expect the win, though, fellas.
Listen to this. The Pelicans overall, their net rating, 4.6. So they overall were 4.6 points better than the teams they played. But Williamson and Ingram, when they were on the floor together at the same time, it was plus 2. So they were better when those two guys were not on the floor together. Their best lineups this year have featured McCollum, Herb Jones, Valanciunas, and Trey Murphy in place of either Williamson or Ingram. Each version has outscored opponents by 15 points per 100 possessions. So for all the talk of how, oh, man, Ingram, and I'm the one that's been saying it, Ingram's hobbled, Zion, he's not going to play. Boy, this should be easy.
Now some
numbers suggest
here?
That they are pretty good at playing without those guys.
So are you worried now? A level of concern
worried.
Gone high?
Yeah, a little. Sure.
Exactly.
Another thing is, as we discussed when we were doing the pregame right before the Pelicans were last year, every time they've beaten the Kings this year, it's been a kick in the crotch.
Yes.
It hasn't just been a loss. It's been a... Oh, they're going to go to Las Vegas. Oh,
right. Yes, you're right about that, and it's usually following a big win at Minnesota.
Oh, got a 6-game winning streak. Oh,
Pelicans come to town to send us back to reality. And so, here's the thing: we're up right now. Kings fans are optimistic, but now's the time where we say enough is enough, Pelicans. No, we're not going to let you spoil our fun. Be a Debbie Downer. Have us crying in our spilled milk and everything. No, we're coming down there to handle business. And this is a statement win. As big as it was to beat the Warriors the other night, and it was great, we get this win tomorrow and actually make the playoffs, that's two more weeks of basketball, basically. Two more weeks of Kings talk. And I think, you know, despite other people saying that they wanted this season over. I think now we can all agree, no, we want this thing to keep going. Let's keep it going.
Listen to this. Williamson, Ingram, and McCollum. They're all really good players, right? They've all had good seasons.
Yes, for sure.
There's no question. The Pelicans, with all three of them on the court, they were outscored by 3.2 points per 100 possessions with those three on the court together. They played their best basketball Tuesday with Williamson, Alvarado, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Larry Nance Jr.
Exactly. And that's why Willie Green went away from Brandon Ingram. That's why. Mm-hmm. You know, and I appreciate you, Whitey, bringing these numbers up and everything like that. But I feel like the Pelicans turn into a different team when they play us. Like, so all the three-point numbers, not a high-volume three-point team. Against us, they are. You know, Trey Murphy starts looking like Kevin Durant out there. You know, Valanciunas all of a sudden is like Wilt on the glass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just seems like when they play us, they it's like, you know, they take their magic juice, their potion, and turn into the Incredible Hulk all of a sudden, where we just can't do anything. And I think the biggest part of that, and it might have been Frankie that talked about it earlier, De'Aaron Fox's numbers against the Pelicans are pedestrian at best. Their length really bothers De'Aaron Fox. Same thing with the Dallas Mavericks, who have some length. We've seen him them do a good job on De'Aaron.
They knock him around a little bit.
They knock him around. They get physical. And so how do we get De'Aaron Fox going in this game? Frankie talked about that being, you know, the critical question going into tomorrow. Is it up to Fox to be, you know, more judicious with his shot attempts, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe get others involved so that you're not the main focus anymore. I think that's going to be critical tomorrow.
Good sign is he had 33 the last time they played. He was 11 of 18, and he got to the line 10 times.
Right,
so that's a key right there. He's got to get some calls.
Yes, he has to get some calls, and it would be nice if he got to the line more than 7 or 8 times, you know, get some of those guys in foul trouble. I'm not optimistic about – have you been watching these playing games and everything? Like, the referees swallowing their whistle and everything, it just bothers me. And so I'm worried about De'Aaron getting to the line a whole lot tomorrow. And I think that's why I believe Keegan Murray has to come with the same kind of impact he did against the Warriors. And I'm talking right from the jump, because that takes some of the pressure off De'Aaron Fox. If we're asking De'Aaron Fox to go in there and score 40, he can do that, yes. But that's a huge ask against this team.
I do think that the front court for the Pelicans, when they have all their guys, is a very difficult matchup for the Kings. So from that standpoint, throw out the numbers I just cited that show that they play well without those guys. When they're playing the Kings, I think a lot of the things that the Pelicans have success with against the Kings, they're out the window. Because you don't have those initial mismatches before the game even starts that already has the Kings defense on its heels a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when you look at it, you know.
Like, who guards Zion?
Right,
you know,
who guards Zion? That's
a problem, like, but it's a big problem for them.
That's a big problem, you know. And even Ingram at his sleight of frame is a tough matchup because of his length, his size. I mean, let's keep it real. Keegan and Harrison Barnes are 6'8", and I know Keegan's wingspan is a little bit longer, but, you know, Brandon Ingram's a 6'10 guy with a 7'3", 7'4 wingspan. I mean, and so, you know, he can shoot over our guys. And so this is going to be a tough matchup. You know, I go back to something, you know, Frankie said too, is the others. You know, CJ, Brandon Ingram, we got to make their life difficult. But we can't have Herb Jones hitting 4 threes. You know what I mean? We can't have Dyson Daniels knocking down shots. You know, we got to keep those guys in check too tomorrow.
In that last game, the Pelicans had 35 defensive rebounds. The Kings had 32 rebounds total. So that to me is the key. The fact that the Kings won the last game against the Warriors largely because they dominated the possession game means that they can't get dominated on the glass by the Pelicans and hope to have the same result.
Are you worried about Domas in this matchup with Valanciunas? You know, because when I look at Domantas Sabonis and the way he's played this season, he usually feasts on smaller guys, sleight of frame guys. Valanciunas is kind of girthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of big.
Right,
he's
thick.
I know, right? He liked how I did that, right? He liked that one, right? But he has some girth to him, if you will. And I don't know if he can dominate that matchup.
Right. I'm not as worried. Try this on. Maybe this is just totally backwards. A lot of people have been saying since Monk went down that, well, you know, Domas has to go off. He has to have a big game. And the more I watch them, the more I realize, you know, he's going to have a few games where he scores more than 18. But I don't think that's necessary for them. I think the extra points have to come from, like they did last game, from Keegan. I mean, if you're feeding Domas with the idea that he's got to score 30, I think that throws everything you do totally out of whack.
Okay. I get that. But I feel like Domas can get his points without, quote unquote, feeding him, if you will. You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
We're not throwing him into the post and telling him to just back down. You know,
he does what he does, and they're really, you know, efficient points. But it's about 18, maybe 20.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he averages against the Pelicans, 18.8. And, you know, he shoots 65%, which is shocking. But I need to look deeper at the box score because I feel like it's been – really good or really bad. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't been a consistent 20 and 10 kind of night. You know, him and De'Aaron, remember that one game? They each went off for like 30 plus points, but they were the only ones in double figures that game. I don't know what I need to see from Domas because I'm leaning towards how you're thinking. I might not need 25 and 18 from him. We saw it against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was very impactful, but didn't have huge stats.
Yeah.
If other guys are hitting, Domas doesn't have to score that much.
Yeah, Domas scoring 18 on, let's see, the last time they played the Pelicans, 18 on 12 shots.
You good
with that? Helps
that?
Me. Yeah. Okay. 10 rebounds and then 4 assists. I mean, that's not a great game for him.
What did Valanciunas have that game?
Valanciunas, he played 33 minutes. He was 5 of 8. He had 10 rebounds. He had 13 points, which for him is... You know, you definitely felt it.
Right,
in that game.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, man. It might go back to what we talked about yesterday and earlier this week. Domas doesn't have to be the second best offensive player. Maybe it is Keegan Murray. Like, if Keegan's giving you 25 to 30, you don't need it from Domas. I thought we needed a big game from Domantas Sabonis because our offense has been struggling. But it came out of a slump in a big way the other night against the Warriors. I do feel because the Pelicans are so physical, they muck things up so much that quick decisions by Domas are going to be key tomorrow. Like, you can't hesitate against this Pelicans team. Whatever decision you make, whether it's kicking it out, whether it's putting it, I'd like to see them put it on the deck and drive more, to be honest with you. You can't just be up there trying to direct traffic and hold the ball and everything like that against this Pelicans team because our guys aren't going to have the free run that they did the other night. Like, the Pelicans are going to be grabbing, holding. They're going to be all up in our jock. Let's keep it real. That's what they're going to be. And so you got to be quick and decisive with your moves.
Domas is just not going to shoot that 15 to 18 footer.
He's not, huh?
Yeah. Was it you that pointed out? I believe it was you pointed out. He took more last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
He took more, you know, in terms of percentage of field goal attempts, he was actually lower this year in the mid-range and three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. You know, he took more inside instead of, and we've been begging him to shoot that 15 to 17 footer. I would love, especially against Valanciunas.
Right.
Like, I don't want you banging down low with Valanciunas. Take him outside. Knock
Bring
that
him out
down.
Of here.
Yeah, come on out, big fella.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go behind enemy lines, catch up with Pelicans radio analyst John DeShazer. See how confident the Pelicans are with the Kings coming in. They got no Zion next year. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.
The Sacramento Kings did it. They eliminated the Warriors and kept their season alive.
Well, they swing it to Keegan, going for another one. And he hits it from the line drive on the right wing. That's the 8th three-pointer that Keegan Murray has made in 13 attempts. He has 32 points.
Now, they need to do it again on Friday in New Orleans. Kings and Pelicans, Friday at 6:30 on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento weather is brought to you by RC Willey Home Furnishings.
I'm Dirk Verdorn in the KCRA3 Weather Center. Expect to have mostly sunny skies this afternoon. We'll see a few clouds with temperatures warming up nicely into the lower 80s, much like we saw yesterday, and winds anywhere from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Get the latest forecast on the KCRA3 News and the KCRA3 app.
If you need flooring, now is the time to buy during RC Willey's semi-annual flooring event. For just 10 days, you can save up to 40% on select carpet styles and pay just $39 for installation. RC Willie. Your home, your way. Welcome to a brighter future with Aztec Solar, serving Sacramento since 1980. Everyone knows that solar saves money. How much? The answer is a few clicks away. Visit yourpowersavings.com. It's fast, easy, and reliable, giving you instant insight into your potential savings.
I used to pay $400 a month to the power company, and that $400 a month added up to $48,000 over the past 10 years. That all changed when I switched to solar with Aztec Solar.
Now it's your turn to stop overpaying for electricity. Calculate your solar savings right now at yourpowersavings.com. And Aztec Solar will email or text you how much you'll save every month. Plus, we've got an exclusive offer for you. Get your solar electrical system for just $9,995 cash price after incentives. Don't wait. This deal won't last forever. Visit yourpowersavings.com today and take the first step towards energy independence with Aztec Solar.
Country in the Park is back May 17th and 18th at Cal Expo with Brantley Gilbert, Dustin Lynch, Jay Cohen, Walker Hayes, and more. Tickets start at just $46. Country in the Park, May 17th and 18th at Cal Expo. For more information, visit CITPFest.com.
Brought to you by Tough Shed, New Dawn Treatment Centers, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
So here's a fact. 85% of the population will suffer from foot pain in their lifetime. That's almost everyone. So you'd think there'd be plenty of healthy long-term remedies. But there just aren't, right? Hi, I'm Dan from the Good Feet Store. You know, people come in all the time sharing the same frustrating story. Bought this, tried that, been there, done whatever. All different kinds of things, but all with a similar result. Nothing. A discouraging and endless cycle of disappointment. If this rings a bell, don't despair. There is hope. If you think you've tried everything, you probably haven't tried Good Feet Arch Supports from the Good Feet Store. They're designed to relieve, even eliminate, the pain commonly caused by certain foot conditions like plantar fasciitis, bunions, flat feet, and others. Plus, provide better balance and increased comfort. See what we can do for you with a free arch support fitting. Just stop in or schedule an appointment. With over 200 stores, there's likely one in your neck of the woods. Find yours at goodfeet.com.
Everybody needs good feet.
This is Kenny and Jerry from Bell Brothers Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Everyone knows that a group of fish is called a school, but did you know a group of giraffes is called a tower? Or how about a murder of crows, a quiver of cobras, a shadow of jaguars, a shiver of sharks, or a zeal of zebras? Wild, huh? So what do you call a group of Bell Brothers plumbers? They don't fit into any of the traditional plumber stereotypes. They're clean and well-dressed. They're on time and courteous. They're well-trained and friendly. They're exactly the kind of people you'd be comfortable and confident to invite into your home. That's why we proudly call them our family of plumbers. If you need a drain cleared or any other plumbing service, we'll send one of the family right over to help you out. Call Bell Brothers at 916-444-1234, or you can find us online at thenosurpriseguys.com.
Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop. Here's Frank LaRosa.
I'm surprised at how many players wait too long to have their golf clubs regripped. I'll pick up my playing partner's clubs when they're left near the green, and that's when I notice that some of the problems in their games could be attributed to worn golf grips. If yours are shiny or worn when you play, you're probably gripping the club too strongly for fear of losing it during a swing. The golf grip is your connection to the club, and fresh grips let you hold the club lightly, promoting proper swing mechanics and swing action. Many of us simply replace the grips with the same product that was on the club, but with so many different types of materials, colors, tackiness, softness, and more, you'll find plenty of sizes and colors to fit your game and your personality. Your local pro shop or club fitter can regrip your clubs, or you can purchase a kit and do it yourself. Either way, regripping once a year is an inexpensive and fast way to bring a noticeable change to your game and to give your clubs that new club feel. That's your Golf to Go. I'm Frank LaRosa.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team. Sactown Sports.
Well, I got to point out here, this may be the two biggest nights in Sacramento basketball history. Tomorrow night, the Kings, of course, and Pelicans. Yeah. Tonight, Kyle playing in the Folsom Lifetime League And we got just a great comments here before we get to our guest. Real quick here. Drapes be handling the rock like Mike Brown. That's from Nick.
Somebody said.
Jeff says, Drapes, you rocking the John Stockton short shorts tonight. And I know your favorite. This was awesome. Who was it that had you looking like somebody said, oh, yeah, pardon me, Luke Richardson. Kyle, please pull up tonight in a headband so you look like the Black Caruso.
The Black Caruso. I might do that. I might do that, actually.
So tonight's huge. Tomorrow's even bigger. Nice now to join us with more on that. Pelicans radio analyst John DeShazer joining us. John DeShazer. John, welcome to the show. Sorry about all that nonsense. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, in Caruso the White Mamba? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, he is. He is. What's going on, John? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're very, very excited. We know Zion's out tomorrow. Can you update us on Brandon Ingram and Jose Alvarado, how they're doing health-wise?
Well, Brandon Ingram went through practice today, as did Alvarado. Both of them looked good. Brandon Ingram actually looked probably the best he's looked since he returned. He missed 12 games at the end of the season with a bone contusion, and he played the last two games, including the first play-in game. Did not look like himself. But today in practice, he very much looked like, you know, the Brandon Ingram who we expect to see. He looked healthy, looked athletic, looked pretty aggressive, and he looks like he's ready to step into that role as the alpha for this team, which he's had to do, you know, several times. Obviously, this team, you don't want to play without Zion Williamson, but they were 7-5 without him this season. We know what's happened in past seasons where Zion Williamson played, you know, either none of the season or less than half the season, and Brandon Ingram had to be kind of the lead dog. So he's ready to assume that role. It's a pretty natural position for him, unfortunately, for this franchise, but he is ready to, I believe, to step into that role.
John, how would you assess the vibe, the mood of the team, considering a week ago they were in the sixth spot, in control of their destiny, and now they're playing for their lives right now? How would you assess the mood of the team after a couple of tough losses to the Lakers this last week?
Well, they seem pretty energized. Today they seem, you know, fairly upbeat, not, you know, giggly, ha-ha, but, you know, just a team that was pretty focused and feeling like, you know, yeah, we had some opportunities, but we still get another one. And, I guess they're pretty fortunate to have that, you know, 49 wins, and that's an improvement from last season, but not being out of the play-in was not an improvement from last season. But they seemed fairly energized today and seemed like a team that's ready for the task at hand. I mean, it's been difficult when you lose your last two games, and especially now that they've lost, you know, six consecutive games at home. And to lose that last Laker game with Zion Williamson leaving the game was really a crusher because, you know, the feeling is if Zion Williamson doesn't leave that game with 3 minutes left in the game, they're probably going to win that game. The momentum was, you know, had shifted to their direction, and he was pretty much unstoppable. He scored 40 in the game. But all things considered, I think they've had, you know, having the day off yesterday probably did them some good. Got back on the court today, got some shots up, got into pretty good practice, and they looked pretty spirited.
John DeShazer is our guest here. He's a Pelicans radio analyst. John, in your opinion, what's the single biggest reason why the Pelicans are 5-0 and a dominant 5-0 against the Kings so far this year?
Well, they've been able to just shoot the lights out against the Kings. I mean, you know, 22 of 40 from three in the last game that they played them, and they've been able to really play well, even though they've been missing some guys in some of those games. They've really figured out a way. And I think a huge thing is Jonas Valanciunas seems to play very well against Domantas Sabonis. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. Maybe they're countrymen and all that kind of thing, and then maybe they got a little rivalry or something going on. But he seems to play pretty well, and he's able to stay on the court at the center position. And Sabonis, even though he puts up pretty decent numbers, doesn't necessarily dominate him. I think that's helped a whole lot. You've got Herb Jones and Dyson Daniels as the two wing defenders who basically try to take on the task of guarding De'Aaron Fox. We know nobody can guard De'Aaron Fox, but they kind of do a decent job of making things difficult, even though he's going to get his points. You just want to make him have to work extra hard. And if you can get to the peripheral guys, you know, if you can, you know, slow down a Keegan Murray and slow down a Harrison Barnes and, you know, get those kinds of things under control, then you might have a decent chance to beat Sacramento. Look, beating the team five times in a season is, one, unprecedented, and two, means absolutely nothing right now because the Pelicans don't have Zion Williamson. They don't have a guy who for the last month, month and a half, was playing at an all-NBA level and who looked like a transcendent – he looked like a transcendent talent for a month and a half. So they don't have him, and now you've got to kind of reestablish the chemistry with Brandon Ingram stepping in back into a lead role. So those five, I kind of throw them out. I know the Pelicans score very, very well in those games, you know, averaged 128. But, you know, really, you're talking about a Sacramento team that exercised a demon, got rid of Golden State, and probably has a pretty decent amount of confidence. And look, if I'm Sacramento, the first thing I'm thinking is, ain't nobody going to get me six times. You know, you might get me five, but ain't nobody going to get me six times. So if I'm them, and I mean, you know, look, the percentages are against it. I mean, you know, you just can't continue. You know, at some point, the team's going to get you. And if for the Pelicans, they're certainly hoping it will not be Friday night.
John DeShazer joining us here on the Drive Guys Sactown Sports 1140. John, when I look at C.J. McCollum and his splits, 21.8 points in wins, 17 points in losses, in wins 46.5% from three-point range, and losses 35.4. How critical is C.J., who has really demolished us this season, 70% from three? How critical will C.J. be tomorrow?
Huge, because he did not play well against the Lakers. Obviously, the expectation is he won't have two bad games like that in a row. It was 1-for-9 against the Lakers from three-point range. And now he was on a heater for about a month, month and a half, you know, last half of the season, where he really shot the ball well. And it's one of those things where, you know, just mentioned the law of averages, you just know it's going to happen at some point. It happened at the absolute worst time for the Pelicans, the play-in game against the Lakers. But we expect him to bounce back. He's the consummate pro, as you guys know. And so we expect him to bounce back and play well. But again, you know, you have to factor in the missing Zion Williamson and the amount of attention he draws defensively. And he allows guys to either be open or get, you know, get open on the hockey assist. So, you know, that's one of those things that has to factor into it. When you don't have Zion Williamson, the open looks that C.J. McCollum had might not be as easily there, because if I'm the Kings, I'm saying, look, this guy has torched us, and we're going to guard him. It's going to have to be somebody else. He's not going to make another 9 threes against us as he did in the last game. It's going to have to be somebody else. We might not win the game, but it won't be because of that guy. And so if I'm the Kings, I'm certainly going to dedicate some defensive attention to him.
You know, John, after the last game here, CJ, I think he told TNT that, oh, they should have drafted me. Could you, if you get a chance, please tell him that we have different GM and coach, and it's all different basketball ops now. So, you know, please ask CJ to let that go, because we can't stand the way he's shooting against us.
Let me tell you something, guys. Devin Booker from the Suns had triple back-to-back games, back-to-back-to-back games of 58, 52, and 52 against the Pelicans. And I personally went down to their bench and said, Book, we're sorry. Whatever it is we did, and whoever did it, we're sorry. Because he went on a tear against the Pelicans. And fortunately, the Pelicans were able to win that next one. But, man, you know, sometimes a guy just has a team in his sights, and there isn't a whole lot you can do about it. But, again, things have a tendency of balancing out.
John DeShazer joining us for tomorrow's game against the Pelicans and the King. John, why did you think the Pelicans have struggled at home so much this season?
Ooh, if I could tell you that, I'd probably be the head coach of this team. I really do not know.
Well, they don't have great crowds, right? I mean, it's true that they're not. It's not a great crowd, but is that a factor typically?
No, actually, they've had great crowds down the stretch, but they haven't given the crowds anything to be excited about. Uh-huh. You know, when you're 21-20 at home, that's just not what you want to be. And I mean, to be a good team in the NBA, to be a really good team in the NBA, you got to be a good home team. The Pelicans were the best road team in the league, but couldn't figure out a way to win games at home. A lot of it had to do with losing in those clutch games, you know, those 5-point games in the last 5 minutes where they just didn't execute down the stretch, which should be better at home, right? You should be more comfortable, but it just didn't happen. And a lot of times the Pelicans, another thing I can't explain, you know, role players play better at home generally.
Yep.
But the Pelicans role players have played better in the road games, especially in the road games in that last four game road trip where the Pelicans were able to sweep it. You know, so I just can't put a finger on it. I don't know if these guys have a little bit more pressure on them at home, if they feel a little bit different, or, you know, if it's people bother them about tickets or what. I don't know what it is, but, you know, they've got to figure it out Friday night, because it's been something that's been an issue this entire season, and it just didn't start these last couple of games. I mean, they lost a critical home game to San Antonio. They coughed up a late lead to Oklahoma City. It's been an issue this entire season where this team cannot get a handle on home games.
John DeShazer, outstanding radio analyst for the Pelicans. John, thank you so much for your time and your insight. Really interesting stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. And, you know, I can't really wish you luck. You personally wish all the luck in the world. And let's hope we have a memorable game tomorrow night.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you
all
for
John.
Having me. I appreciate
all right,
it.
Now, thank you. Yeah. Interesting. He's kind of – is he sandbagging us?
A little bit.
Oh, it's tough to beat a team six times right, in a row.
Right. He's telling us what the Kings should be thinking going down there. Yeah, it's going to be a great game.
These things even up. CJ's been on fire, but these things even up.
You know what? He's preparing himself for the loss. That's all it is, right?
Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, he's setting himself up for the loss.
It's almost like he's a little too confident underneath it all. I don't know. When we come back, is a successful, quote-unquote, a successful season – hanging in the balance for the Kings tomorrow night. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
This time of year when you get, I know we're not technically in the postseason yet, but these essentially are postseason games. And you get a couple days after a game and it's still another day until the next game. You know, it's kind of, you get a little antsy, right? Because let's go.
It's
let's
like,
go.
Get here, right?
Let's play.
Yeah.
Let's play.
Yeah.
So we were just talking to John DeShazer from New Orleans. About how well C.J. McCollum has played against the Kings. And, of course, C.J. made it clear after the last game here on April 11th. He said, well, they should have drafted me. So I'm just looking at that draft drapes, which I know is...
It's painful, right?
It can
Anytime
be.
You do, you look at past drafts
yeah,
for the Kings,
it's just
it's rough.
So, yeah, and they're just so puzzling. That 2013 NBA draft, yes, in fact, C.J. McCollum went 10th to the Trailblazers. The Kings with the 7th pick took... Ben McLemore, who, of course, has run afoul of the law, but that's who they took with the 7th pick. That same draft, that was the Anthony Bennett number one draft.
Yeah, at least we didn't botch it as bad as Cleveland did back then.
Mm-hmm. Alex Len was the 5th pick
okay.
by the Phoenix Suns, and then you know who was the 15th pick that year? Remember, this is the Alex
that was,
Bennett draft. With the 15th pick, the
was that
Bucks,
Giannis?
Giannis
yeah,
Antetokounmpo
yeah.
went 15.
Who was number 14?
Shabazz Muhammad.
And then 13, Kelly Olynyk.
Yes,
of, yeah,
yes,
yes. That was
Steven
that draft.
Adams was 12.
Yep.
Then you go all the way down to the 27th pick from France, Rudy Gobert.
Stifle Tower. You like looking at the redrafts when people do that? Like, if you were to redraft that draft class, obviously –
It'd be
Giannis
a little different,
would be not right.
Yeah.
Exactly. What year was Jokic drafted? Was he 15? No, I'm trying to remember what year was he drafted, because, you know, when you look back on it, the way they got that one wrong, I mean, everybody missed on that. Some teams missed on him twice.
2014 draft.
All right, so that was the following year. Who was number one that year?
Your boy, Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid, Aaron
Ooh.
Gordon. Dante Exum, Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, the Kings, Nick Stauskas.
Oh.
Although after that, what else was it? Where Šarić went 12, Zach LaVine 13, and then, you know, Bogdanović went 27th, Kyle Anderson. You got to go all the way down to the 41st pick, second round, and Nikola Jokic, Denver Nuggets.
Let me ask you this. And maybe Kings fans don't want to.
Dinwiddie.
Yeah. Maybe Kings fans don't want to relive this. But should there be a 30 for 30 on the Sacramento Kings? The 2000s. You know, from like the Bibby Weber era to what went wrong to saving the team to drafts. Like, how compelling would that be?
You gonna tell them
to ending the yes. drought, right? And to ending the drought, like how they've come full circle almost. You know, the Luka situation, like There's a lot. I mean,
if you win a championship, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
Do you not know Whitey?
Well, do I not know what exactly?
There was a 30 for 30 made.
On the Kings?
Yes.
Oh, that was about the move.
Oh, that was. Yeah.
But
yeah,
that still had kind of pre-things tied to it as well.
But that was all. Yeah. Because wasn't that like, I think the opening scene was like Mary Johnson going for a jog. Yeah. And then,
but,
yeah.
But it wasn't about the draft. Was it like that? Was that part of
it?
It
was about saving the team.
It was more based about, yeah. But I mean, you know, all that stuff.
Like, that's a multiple part one. Like, you know, when you look at the last 20 years.
Three parts?
Yeah, seriously. Like,
Kings aren't that high on people's list, man.
I
remember this, Jay. I remember before the Maloof sold, they were working on something that I don't think they ever produced called Saving the Kingdom.
Kings, yeah.
And it was like a documentary on turning the whole thing around. And obviously they weren't able to ever do that.
Yeah. So. Well, KCRA did a documentary on Saving the Kings also.
Yeah.
Michelle Dapper and those fine people over there, they did one. Our boy Carmichael Dave featured greatly in that. And so I just think, you know, it sort of reminds me of like the Pac-12. Like an oral history, where did things go wrong? Like, right. I'm talking from a basketball standpoint with the Kings.
Yeah.
These drafts that you're talking about, year after year after year, we got it wrong.
Yeah.
And the Kings aren't the only one, though. So, I mean, there's tons of the Warriors prior to, you know, this run could have been in that. The Patrick O'Briens and, like, they've had a bunch of guys. Minnesota, Orlando hasn't drafted well. There's tons of people. Kings aren't that high on the level, man.
Maybe it feels worse because I'm here.
Yeah,
now.
That's
I mean,
it.
It feels worse.
You win a championship, I think, and you've got the ending.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like Jay just mentioned Minnesota, because, you know, I wonder about drafts all the time. I'm so glad I'm not involved in them because you'd go crazy, right?
Yeah.
But Minnesota, they picked some really good players, right?
Well,
they had high picks and they picked well and still.
Yeah. They picked Johnny Flynn out of Syracuse and they picked Ricky Rubio, two point guards in the same draft.
Yeah.
So they've had some, you know, issues drafting.
They got
too.
Wiggins and they got Cat and they got LaVine and, you know,
Kevin Love, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's still, it's like, it didn't quite work. So it's hard. It's freaking hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
I still say, like, we had Jerry on yesterday. I asked him, how's a guy like Keon Ellis? How's he not drafted? He said, well, tell you what, he should have been. You know?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, you look at Keon and his numbers didn't 12 points, you know, in college at 6'3", 6'4". That doesn't, it's not jumping off the page. There's a million guys like that, right? Yeah.
It's what you always talk about, Drapes, is don't read the box score.
Yeah.
You know, we've had opportunities to talk to people because of what we do, like, you know, scouts and things like that. You know, sometimes, and I've had the opportunity of being scouted. Like, when you talk to scouts, sometimes it's, you know, they want to go one way in the organization or, you know, the boss above them want to go another way. And as much as you get to see these guys, like, no, he's a ball player. It's like, nah, I'd rather go with the 6'10 guy, the project guy. You know, I know he scored 12 points just as much as Keon, but he's 6'10". I think we can build him into something, you know. And I think that happens quite a bit.
Nurkic that year was the 16th pick in the same year that Jokic was the 41st pick.
Really?
Yeah.
See? And that's the thing, though. I look at the draft, and fortunately, we hopefully won't have to worry about that after tomorrow night. I look at the draft and the pressure of having one of those lottery picks for the Kings, one of those top picks. If you get a 24th overall pick wrong, it happens. When you get a top 5 pick wrong, top 10 pick wrong, it could set your franchise back. Case in point, the Detroit Pistons. I feel like recently I like their picks. I like Jalen Duren. I like Cade Cunningham. I like what they're doing. But how many times have they been in the lottery? Killian Hayes. You miss out on those picks, you're in purgatory. You look at a team like OKC. They hit on their picks, and now look at them.
Yeah.
You got to hit on your picks no matter where you're at.
And that's the tricky part. Those guys, top 5, top 6, the guys with the high ceiling, they're the guys that are sometimes like 19, and you're guessing.
how they'll trend. Yeah, how they project.
Who knows what he's going to be in a year, let alone 5 years.
Right, 100%. And, you know, it's a crapshoot. So getting that top five pick isn't always, you know, end-all, be-all in future success. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. If you're drafting 14, 15, 20, just get the pick right is my thing.
That reminds me of, like, the Bulls when Michael Jordan was done and it appeared that they thought, we built it once, we'll build it again.
Right.
And
you like, just it was that realize, easy. Yeah.
It's just the guys like Jordan, Pippen, or, you know, Curry, Clay, you just don't, those guys don't come along every three, four, or five drafts.
Right, right.
They're not there for you.
It's, think about it. Franchise changers like that, they just aren't there. Like, they don't just grow on trees. Yeah. Every year, there's not going to be a LeBron or Jordan, you know. Fortunately, Spurs, Victor Wembanyama looks like it could be. Is Paolo Banchero a franchise changer in Orlando? I don't know. I mean, he's a very good player. I don't know. You know, they got some other good guys.
Do you think Orlando could be OKC light?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I think so. I like what they're building. They got some good young talent. They got a good coach in Jamal Mosley. And, yeah, they're on the come up for sure.
A successful season. Is it hanging in the balance for the Kings tomorrow night? Next Drive, guys. Sack Town Sports.